Hey, we are in Acts 20. Acts 20. Reading out of the Amplified Version. In the last recording, we're talking about the divine disruption. And as I was just eating my, I just wanted to just go get some, make some oatmeal and applesauce. Put away a few dishes. I was thinking about how, yeah, COVID was a huge divine disruption. Think about it. All the bars were closed. All the businesses were closed. Yeah, or had special hours. Churches were even... They were trying to close down churches. Not Church's Chicken, but different actual churches. Worship churches. Places of worship. Then we went right, yeah, and then people declared COVID to be over, and we went right back to how things were. You notice that, y'all? I can only imagine what the next divine disruption is about to be. All right, Paul in Macedonia and Greece. After the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had encouraged them, he told them goodbye and set off to go to Macedonia. After he had gone through those districts and had encouraged the believers, he came to Greece, and he stayed 3 months. And when a plot was formed against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia, or northern Greece. He was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and by Gaius and of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychius and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men went on ahead and were waiting for us, including Luke, at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, Passover week, and within 5 days we reached them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. It's interesting, I had a dream today, and my dad was in it, and he was cleaning the kitchen. He was cleaning the stove, like deep cleaning it, cleaning all the appliances. And then he was getting ready to bake some bread. I've never in my life seen my dad bake any bread. But he's like, "You want some?" I was like, "No, I'm good. I don't want any." Like, for some reason, I declined. I didn't want any. I don't know what was going on, if I had eaten already or if I was about to eat. But for some reason, I told my dad I didn't want any. All right, verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread, share communion, Paul began talking with them, intending to leave the next day. And he kept on with his message until midnight. Now, there were many lamps in the upper room where we were assembled, and there was a young man named Eutychus, which also means lucky, sitting on the windowsill. So, Mr. Lucky. He was sinking into a deep sleep, and as Paul kept on talking longer and longer, he was completely overcome by sleep and fell down from the third story, and he was picked up dead. That would be me. Oh, man, yeah, my voice puts people to sleep. I literally was just talking about, that's hilarious, I literally was just talking about my friend, Yeti, out there in Cali, my voice put her to sleep. And then there's this guy, it's funny, this is my buddy Gideon. I can never remember his dad's name. It's like Isaac or... I think his dad's name is Isaac. Or something like, I can't remember, it's a biblical name. But anyway, yeah, Gideon's dad, he sits on the last pew, on the very last row. And on the right side of the chair, I usually try to sit next to him. And it's funny because he always falls asleep every Sunday. But our pastor, Pastor JB, he does have one of those voices that will if you're sleepy, it will put you to sleep. It's Verse 10, but Paul went down and threw himself on him and embraced him and said to those standing around him, do not be troubled because he is alive. When Paul had gone back upstairs and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked informally and confidently with them for a long time until daybreak, in fact, and then he left. They took the boy Eutychus home alive and were greatly comforted and encouraged. They thought the boy was dead. All right, Troas to Miletus. But we went on, I think I'll call this recording Sleepy Lucky. I call him Humpty Lucky because he falls. Humpty Lucky. All right. When Paul had gone, I read that. Troas to Miletus, verse 13. But we went on ahead to the ship and set sail for Assos. Intending to take Paul on board there for that was what he had arranged, intending himself to go a shorter route by land. Verse 14, so when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and sailed on to Mytilene. Sailing from there, we arrived the next day at a point opposite of Chios. The following day, we crossed over to Samos, and the next day we arrived at Miletus, about 30 miles south of Ephesus. Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus so that he would not end up spending time unnecessarily in the province of Asia, modern Turkey, for he was in a hurry to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Interesting. Farewell to Ephesus. However, for Miletus, he sent word to Ephesus and summoned the elders of the church to meet him there. And when they arrived, he said to them, you know well how I lived when I was with you, from the first day that I set foot in Asia until now, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials which came on me because of the plots of the Jews against me. You know how I did not shrink back in fear from telling you anything that was for your benefit or from teaching you in public meetings and from house to house, solemnly and wholeheartedly testifying to both Jews and Greeks, urging them to turn in repentance to God and to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Verse 22, and now, compelled by the Spirit and obligated by my convictions, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly and emphatically affirms to me in city after city that imprisonment and suffering awaits me. But I do not consider my life as something of value or dear to me, so that I may with joy finish my course in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify faithfully of the good news of God's precious undeserved grace, which makes us free of the guilt of sin and grants us eternal life. That's a good memory verse, y'all. Verse 25. And now, listen carefully. I imagine them all scooting in, all ears, and Paul pointing to his ears. I know, he starts talking slow. I know that none of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see me again. For that reason, I testify to you on this our parting day that I am innocent of the blood of all people. I know I honestly can't say that I'm innocent of the blood of all people, because I'm not always the best evangelist. There's times where I'm like, man, I could have said this or said that, or why didn't I speak up? Or anyway. Verse 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose and plan of God. Verse 28, Take care and be on guard for yourselves and for the whole flock over the Holy Spirit has appointed, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd, tend, feed, guide the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I am gone, false teachers like ferocious wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own selves, men will rise, speaking perverse and distorted things to draw away the disciples after themselves as their followers. Therefore, be continually alert, remembering that for years, night or day, I did not stop admonishing and advising each one of you with tears. And now I commend you to God. Placing you in his protective, loving care, and I commend you to the word of his grace, the counsel and promises of his unmerited favor. That's a good prayer to pray over people. His grace is able to build you up and to give you the rightful inheritance among all those who are sanctified, that is, among those who are set apart for God's purpose, all believers. I had no desire for anyone's silver or gold or expensive clothes. So he lived a very modest life. He's probably like Doug, wore the same thing every day. You know personally that these hands ministered to my own needs, working in manual labor and to those of the people who were with me. So, yeah, he worked a regular job. And anything that he got, he wasn't one of these prosperity preachers. Not knocking prosperity preachers, but what I'm saying is like he wasn't all flashy with all the suits and begging for your money and taking all your money to buy expensive clothes and expensive cars and all that kind of stuff. He did receive some money from folks, but he didn't. It all went toward building the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Let me change my. In everything I showed you by example, in verse 35. In everything I showed you by example that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed and brings greater joy to give than to receive. This is where the world. There's a lot of phrases that the world uses that are really, really originate from the Bible. Here's one of them. It's better to give than receive. You know, people say, it's good. It's better to give than receive. I say a lot around Christmas time. It's like, do you know where that came from? Acts 20, verse 35. Or people say, the golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated. It's like, oh, that's Jesus said that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 36. When he had said these things, he knelt down and I just think it's funny because these are all sayings that are used a lot. There's a lot of sayings that people say that originated in the Bible, but they don't like to give God credit for it. Or a lot of people don't even know that's where it came from. They just repeat whatever they've heard of their parents say or other people say. Having no clue that it originated in the Bible. All right, verse 36. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they began to weep openly and threw their arms around Paul's neck and repeatedly kissed him, grieving and distressed, especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see him again, and they accompanied him to the ship. It's funny, there's a bar here in Kansas City. It's in the West Bottoms, and it's called The Ship. I've picked up a lot of people from the ship. Funny thing is, one of the prophecies that was made at church was about that people during these last days, that people would just start jumping in the boat. Like normally you go fish, like imagine if you went fishing instead of actually having to cast your reel or your net to catch the fish just jumped in your boat. That's what's about to happen in this great harvest, this big revival that's going to happen, I believe, personally, before the great, great tribulation and the rapture and all that kind of stuff. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know at all. This is my personal speculation. I feel like there's going to be one more big revival, people turning into Jesus, and a lot of persecution, like actual Christians being killed in the streets right before the Great Tribulation and Rapture. We'll see. I could be wrong. I did just read that article in North Korea about that boy being thrown in prison for life because he was caught with his family's Bible or something like that in their house. What did I want to tell y'all? So, all right, y'all. The name of this recording will be Humpty Lucky. Yeah. Humpty Lucky. And we're going to go ahead and try to finish the rest of Acts. I think there's 8 more chapters to go. So here we go. He feel it, she feel it, we feel it. Here on round we go. He feel it, she feel it, he feel it. Here we go. Boy, look at here. That's from Grits. This, if you know, you know. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned or missed the mark or veered off the path and fallen short of the glory of God or God's perfect standard." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages or the cost of that sin is death or eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his love toward us," or showed his love toward us, "in that while we were still yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us." Romans 10 verse 9 through 10 says that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will, not might be, not maybe, we will be saved. For with our hearts we believe we are now in right standing with God, and with our mouths we confess that we are now saved. Lastly, Romans 10 verse 13 says that whosoever, anybody or everybody, who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. So if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or you've walked away from him and you would like to rededicate your life to him, you can just simply say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen."